Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Pit Pass USA. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday night, and hopefully we will stay with you during this Wednesday night because we're expecting some very heavy storms here in the Detroit area, although the sun is shining at the moment, but we do have tornado watches and all sorts of fun things out here in the area. So if these fast-moving storms come in and suddenly hear, that means that the power has gone away and we have gone off the air. But right now we're all connected and hoping that these storms don't cause any problems around here. We had a great weekend of racing. I was out at Michigan International Speedway for both the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series and the Sprint Cup race. It was a good weekend of watching some great racing out there and some pretty good weather, too, along with that. Hopefully you had a chance to take in a race wherever you were. But because I was at Michigan International Speedway, I was not with the America Le Mans Series, and they were very busy last weekend. Well, the America Le Mans Series was in action last weekend at Road America, and it was a great, great race weekend with a four-hour race. And when the day came to a conclusion, well, we had the red Ferrari of Ricci Competizione atop the step in GT, and one of the drivers joining me now, Tony Wielander. And Tony, congratulations on getting Ferrari, the F458 Italian's first win this season in the America Le Mans Series.
Thank you very much. I mean, we have had quite difficult start of the season, and definitely with this win, hope we can score some more in the coming races.
Well, it was a tough start to the season, and part of that was that the Ferrari was late in arriving. I know the team down at Sebring, they were still opening boxes and working with the car, and now that they've had several races to get used to the car, I'm assuming that the learning curve now has hit the point where you are competitive week in, week out for the top step of the podium.
Yeah, the start of the season, as we told, was quite frustrating at some point. I mean, the competitiveness was there. But for various reasons, sometimes the results didn't come out. So it may be wrong to say pressure, but when you lack those wins and the podiums are not coming consistently, the atmosphere in the team and as drivers, maybe we try to give even more of the racetrack and it doesn't always come out right. So with this win, I think everything will calm down a little bit and will give us the confidence and the things that we can do it again in the future.
And I think the race fans do expect to see the Ricci Competizione Ferrari up front week in, week out. It's always been strong through the years with all the wins that they've had, and to see it struggle at the beginning had to put pressure on it. Maybe we didn't notice as much that there was a lot of pressure on the team.
Yeah, I mean, we need results. We are professional drivers, and Team Ricci Competizione is a professional racing car team. So we live for the wins, and we sure need them. So the history of the team is very strong, and they always been the team to watch at the ALMS. So that's why I'm very proud also to be part of the team this year.
Talk about the drive at Road America, you and Jamie Mello, to take on the BMWs and get the win. What kind of a day overall was it for you? I mean, a long four-hour race compared to the little over two-hour races that we had been running.
Yeah, first of all, during the practice, we managed to set up our car really nicely for long run. Let's say the car was handling really nicely on those Michelin tires. And, yeah, we knew that, let's say, compared to those two hour 45, let's say, sprint races, maybe this 4 hours format would suit us a little bit better. And, our fuel consumption is quite okay compared to our main rivals. And we were a bit afraid with that top speed thing because we still feel like we are missing a few miles an hour on top speed. So we, in the race situation, those restarts and things like that for us is really critical because once we get up to the right running temperature with the tires and stuff like that, we are okay. But those critical moments when you need the extra power, we need to really be careful and not to let our rivals to get past us. So, in the end, I had some issues also with the car, and we were not sure what's going to happen during the race, and team was consistently on the radio saying just go for it, and there's not much things we can do from here from the pit wall, so let's try to optimize what we have. And I mean, the last stint of Jaime when he overtook, I think it was Werner he overtook, so that was quite unbelievable.
Well, you also had a moment during the race, and I think it's been replayed about 1,000 times on a pit stop. You came in, and I believe the Corvette was right behind you. You leave, you're going out. Corvette's kind of going around you at pit out. Your door, your driver door, was still open as you were leaving the pits. How did that come up? And then you both kind of spun over to off of turn one.
Yeah, that was quite a hectic moment. I mean, I jumped into the car, and once I leave the pits, everything was okay. And suddenly the engineer, Mark, was on the radio yelling, "You need to close your driver's side door, close your door, close your door." At the same time, I was releasing the pit speed limiter, changing the gear, so I was basically a little bit running out of hands. And the door was open, going to turn one. I see the Corvette on outside, and we were both on cold tires. And I mean, the contact we had, I think, was not that huge, but the fact that we both tried to push to the turn one as hard as we could, and we were on cold tires. And once I realized that now I'm going for a spin, I just hammered the throttle down and sort of drifting move, and I almost managed to save it, and I didn't actually spin completely. So,
have you ever done that before? Left the pits with the door still open?
No, actually not, and I don't want to make it as a habit. I mean, let's leave it this one time.
Well, obviously you recovered. There wasn't damage to the car, and then Jamie Mello at the end. It really wasn't him per se. It was your guys on the crew, the pit crew guys, that did a fabulous pit stop on the final stay in the pits that gave him the advantage to get out in front of the BMWs, gave him a little more advantage and able to bring the car home. I mean, they did a fabulous job.
Yeah, I mean, I think we changed our four tires quicker than they actually did there too. I mean, there were some other cars that didn't change all four rounds, and Jaime managed to overtook a few cars, I think, already on the pit stop, and then once on the racetrack with those fresh four Michelins, Jaime was able to catch the Beamer in front of us and then overtake him. So that was an excellent afternoon from all of the team guys. I mean, the effort they have put in the whole season has been fabulous. And again, the demonstration was there that our pit guys are something we can trust on.
Tony, you've been a champion over in Europe in FIA GT. But you had never gotten a win in the American Le Mans Series. What does it mean for you to get that first win for yourself in the series?
It was really impressive. I actually started to realize that when Jaime got into the lead, and I said, now again, I have a chance to do it. Because, I mean, at Motorsport, I finished 3 times second. Last year, the Petit Le Mans in Atlanta, I lost the lead just... Few seconds from the checkered flag. I mean, we ran out of fuel, so I've been close to the victory lane, and in Road America. Now to do it was also on the side a small relief. I mean, once you are winner, maybe something changes, and today we can say I won a ALMS race. So that was really important, and now is the next target would be win the championship. Maybe this year it's going to be difficult. We try to optimize the coming races and win some more. And then for the future, I would also like to be ALMS champion.
Well, you, as I said, you've been a champion over in Europe, and you still do a lot of racing in Europe. Is it fun going back and forth from the States over to Europe and running in those races?
Yeah, yes, it is. I mean, sometimes the traveling side is a bit tough with the time difference, and we need to perform on very high level and maximum effort every weekend. But at the same time, there's no chance to complain. I mean, it's a dream come true, and I'm happy to do it. Races itself in Europe are a bit different than in U.S. I mean, in U.S., they intend to throw that yellow flag and safety car in quite easily. And in Europe, the races are 6 hours. This year, we do the LMS series in Europe, but then those races are 6 hours. And here, the format changes a little bit from weekend to weekend. We have those 2 hours, 45 sprint races, and then Sebring, 12 hours, and now 4 hours, and Atlanta is 1,000 miles. So it's fun. It's good fun, and I enjoy the racing, especially here. I mean, the race is never over until you, before you finish that checkered flag with the yellow flags and stuff. Everything can still happen, and strategy in U.S. is a bit more important.
Time with Tony Vielander here on Pit Pass USA, co-driver of the Risi Competizione Ferrari 458 Italia, the winner last weekend at Road America. And, Tony, you mentioned the different racetracks and lengths that the American Le Mans Series has. Next up is your stop on the streets of Baltimore, racetrack no one's ever raced at before. It is brand new. I understand it's going to be fantastic. But how do you prepare yourself as a driver for something you've never seen or witnessed before?
Yeah, I mean, team is sending my, for me now the layout of the racetrack to see a little bit how it should be. And from the layout, maybe you can imagine some of the stuff. Planning to travel over there, let's say, one day earlier than normally, and we'll be able to walk, go with the scooter or bike around the racetrack. And from there on, team guys, I think they are simulating the racetrack with the gears and stuff to see that we have a decent baseline to start from. And then once we've done the first session and running, we optimize the gears and stuff. And then once we get closer to that, let's say, qualifying, we try to be in top form setup-wise and stuff. And obviously the racetrack itself, with the experience in the past, it will change a lot. I mean, if it's a track there has never been raced before, so the dirt and the racing line will clean up and will change quite a lot and improve lap time many seconds before that qualifying.
Yeah, I know going to Long Beach, everyone's got a book. They've raced there before, but a brand new racetrack like this one on a street circuit has got to be just a handful for all the teams, and with very limited track time, too. I mean, you don't have hours upon hours to shake the car down and figure out what you need. It's like practice, qualify, go race. It's a very short, compressed weekend.
Yes, it is. There is no margin for errors. I mean, we need to optimize the track time, try to use every one of those minutes that are available. But, I mean, again, it's same for everybody, and I'm quite confident that our car, as it now suits Road America, but will suit quite well also the streets of Baltimore.
Well, Tony, again, I want to congratulate you, Jamie, the entire Risi Competizione team for the victory at Road America, and I look forward to seeing that bright red car competing up front when we go to Baltimore on Labor Day weekend.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to also thank the team Risi, thank Jaime, Michelin, all our team supporters, and also all the race fans. I mean, we had so much support during the year, and especially now with the win, it's good to see that race fans all around the world are happy for our success and will follow our races also in the future.
That's Tony Vielander, along with Jamie Mello, drives the Risi Competizione Ferrari 458 Italia in the American Le Mans Series, and great win for them in Road America last weekend, and we are looking forward to Baltimore on Labor Day weekend. In fact, later on the show, we'll talk to Rena Shanneman, who's involved with the affair in Baltimore about the Grand Prix. Well, next up, we're going to talk a little more sports car racing, because while the American Le Mans Series was racing at Road America, the Grand Am Rolex Series was racing at Circuit Gilles Villeneuve in Montreal. We're going to talk to one of the co-drivers of the winning Daytona prototype machine. That'll be Alex Gurney when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series, VoiceAmericaSports.com.
You're in. internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Have we got a high-energy, all-access sports show for you? It's Outside the Huddle, starring Lemond Williams. Each week, join Lemond as he takes callers, discusses the week's top stories in the world of sports, and sits down with active and former players to discuss their transition from sports to business. Outside the Huddle is a great resource for players making career transitions both on and off the field. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and 5 Pacific for Outside the Huddle on the Voice America Sports Channel.
What if there was a program that brought the best in sports and the best of entertainment together in one place? It can be done, and Darnell Autry proves it every week on Outside the Spotlight. In this program, athletes and artists come together to share their success stories, hobbies, professional projects, and more that will interest not only the sports fan, but fans of entertainment and other human interest stories. If you have something you want to ask your favorite athlete or entertainer, listen for Outside the Spotlight, Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Grand Am Rolex Series last weekend was up in Canada at Circuit Gilles Villeneuve. And when all was said and done, the Gansco Bob Stallings Racing Team came home winners. And one of the co-drivers joining me now, Alex Gurney. Alex, congrats on the big win in Montreal.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, definitely a great day for our whole team. And we were super stoked to finally pull off a win there at Montreal. Been trying for about 5 years then.
Well, you've been on the pole, what, four times in the 5 years you've been up there, but never able to close the deal.
Yeah, yeah, it's proven to be a tough one for us. You know, we led a lot of laps there, but just, yeah, never sealed the deal. This time we made it happen.
What, did you wonder about that a little bit? I mean, John Fogarty went out and grabbed the pole for you, but at the start he was passed, and that was 20, 25 laps until he got the lead at the very end when pit stops began. Did you get a little concerned at that point?
A little bit, you know. Although the gap that John had in qualifying, I figured, you know, we have to be able to win this one. If we can't win this one, we won't win any of them. You know, our car was really, really good throughout the weekend. The SunTrust team did improve overnight, so they were pretty much matched our pace. But yeah, we were able to keep it out front, had good stops, and came home with a win.
I think John took the lead with two laps before he came in and gave it over to you, but he was able to open up a little bit of advantage on pit stops. I guess he was just putting the pedal all the way down to the floor and through the floorboard, it sounded like.
Yeah, I think that the key was not getting traffic on those two laps after the SunTrust team pitted. You know, we stayed out for those two extra, and John was in the clear and you know, put together two really good laps, and so I think that combined with a good stop made it easy for us to get out in front.
Now, what about the cooling issues inside the car? I understand that the air conditioning kind of went away that goes into the helmet to keep you cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah, we have a little AC unit. They call it AC. It's not really AC. It's semi less warm air, I would say. And we have a hose that connects from that, that connects into the helmet. And the actual little plastic connection piece, when John got out of the car, it ripped out with him. So I was not able to connect it to my helmet. They tried to fix it on a pit stop, but it didn't work. So I was without that, and that makes a big difference in the car. It's kind of like getting in your road car. You know, when your car's sitting outside on a hot day, it's been parked for a long time, and you get in, you immediately realize you need AC pretty quickly. So that's kind of what it feels like in the car.
And I guess one of the things that helped you, there was a caution period with about 15 minutes to go, and you actually opened the door on the race car?
I did. I figured, why not get some air? it helped a little bit. Yeah, I think that yellow was a good thing for us. Just opening the door a little bit gave that little bit of airflow, and that was some welcome relief for me.
Did race control get on the radio and say, hey, close that door, or did they just stay quiet?
I didn't hear anything. I was kind of expecting it, and I figured I'd keep it open until they started whining at me.
Talking with Alex Gritty here in Pit Pass USA, along with John Fogarty, were the winners of the Grand-Am Rolex Series race at Circuit Gilles Villeneuve last weekend and the Grand-Am Rolex Series. And Alex, let's talk a little bit about the remarkable work your team did, because a week earlier at the Glen, the car was involved in an accident, and to turn it around and come out and grab the pole and then do what you guys did in the race, that says a lot for the team.
Yeah, definitely. The guys were, you know, up against it. You know, when you factor in travel time and all that, and preparation for the next race, they had a very small window to fix the car and make it perfect. I guess the guys went to a Lowe's parking lot after the Watkins crash and worked on it there, and so they were able to turn it around in that one day and head up to Montreal. So a neat little story, and obviously the car rolled off perfect, and so big compliment to them for sure.
You know, when you look back at the season and there were so many races where various problems cropped up, do you kind of shake your head now, because you wanted Laguna Seca, you wanted Montreal, that if you were running the way you are right now, you'd be right there contending for the championship with this one race to go at Mid-Ohio?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think this second half we've really, you know, been at championship level, been on the podium every race except where we crashed last week. So yeah, it's too bad. It just took us, you know, half a season to figure out these new tires. They've really been difficult for us, but now we've, you know, been able to adjust our setup in a way that allows them to last a whole stint. And you know, since that point, we've just been really strong.
I was going to ask you whether it was something like that or just racing like that crops up its ugly head from time to time, like an accident that's not of your own making. There's so many things in racing that can happen that are completely out of your control or your team's preparation that sometimes set you back. But you think the tires, changing the tires and getting used to them has been a big factor?
Yeah, I really think that's been our main problem. I mean, these races become a lot easier when your car is really fast, and we just simply weren't fast enough the first six races or so. So, you know, we tended to get in trouble and fall back, you know, experimenting with things. So, but yeah, we had a test right at the midpoint after six races and really found something that made the car come alive and made it a lot easier for us to drive it and drive it hard. So that was the difference.
And when I look at the season in the Grand-Am Rolex Series, of course, we always look at the Ganassi team, but since about, I think it was four or five races ago, you know, after their dominance early, it's kind of fallen off. Maybe they got a handle on the tires early, and then everyone else has caught up. It kind of looks like that, because suddenly they're not the ones that are dominating week in, week out.
That's true. And I don't mind that at all, actually. you know, Continental, that was the tire brand, they actually did make a change to the front tires a couple races ago, and I think that might have swung it in our favor, luckily. So I think maybe they've been struggling a little bit with that as well.
Are you kind of sad that there's only one race left to go in the season?
Oh, definitely. You know, when you're on a high and got the car working the way it is, you know, yeah, you definitely want it to keep going. So hopefully we can take that momentum into next year.
What do you think about Mid-Ohio? You're third in points right now. You got a 12-point cushion. Feels pretty good there over the Action Express guys. But Mid-Ohio, a tough little race course. It was just down there a few weeks ago.
It is, but definitely one of my favorites, one of my teammates' favorites as well. So, you know, just one of America's classic road races. So, great place to be, and we've got lots of experience there. We love it. So we're hoping to close it out with another win.
Is there such a thing as momentum at the end of the season carrying over into a new season, which doesn't begin until we get the Rolex 24?
I think so. I definitely think so. I think there's a little bit of a mental game there. You know, I think the other teams might start to question the setups that they're running and try to figure out how we figured it out. So I think that does make quite a bit of difference.
Very quickly, I want to ask you about, you know, we're changing the Daytona prototypes in the near future. What do you think about that with all the changes that are coming?
I think it's great. I've seen some drawings of the new car, and it's quite a bit different. The greenhouse that some people don't seem to like on these cars, that'll be dramatically reduced. And the car's going to look quite a bit different. Still going to be a prototype, but I think the fans are going to love it.
And that's one of the things, too. I mean, we've seen these same cars year after year after year, and after a while people go kind of get bored with it, and something new may energize the series a little bit and the Rinks fans.
I think that's very true. I think next year, the fans are going to see something very new.
Well, I think we're all looking forward to it, especially at the Rolex 24 Daytona. I know I am, and I know there's some test sessions also that come up towards the end of the year at Daytona, which should help teams. So it should be a great time, and I want to wish you the best of luck at Mid-Ohio. And again, congratulations on winning up in Montreal. I know it's one that's very special for you after trying the fifth time now to finally get that win up there and getting it.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.
That's Alex Gurney, and he and John Fogarty getting the win up in Daytona Prototypes in the Grand Am Rolex Series up in Montreal, and they've got only one race left in the season, and that's coming up mid-September down at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. I'll get it out here in a moment. It's one of those days. I'm watching it get dark outside the window here as we're expecting these storms in a little bit. Next up, we're going to talk to a friend of mine who I've known for a long time, actually worked with for a while, too. In the kart series, she's involved with the Baltimore Grand Prix. We're going to talk about that new race. It's going to be running around Camden Yards next when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyet and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you ready for an old school in your face discussion of professional college and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with Derek Kennard. You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and weekly guests that are personal and provocative. From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at larryhenry@pitpassusa.com.
That's Larry Henry at PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
In just over a week, a brand new race in the United States is going to take place on the streets of Baltimore around Camden Yards, the Baltimore Grand Prix. And joining me now is a woman that I've known for a long time, I've worked with, and she's involved with the Baltimore Grand Prix, and that's Rena Shanneman. Rena, welcome. And I know it's a very, very busy time with a brand new race about to take place in just over a week.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's always good to talk to you.
What about the Baltimore Grand Prix? I've seen the pictures. I've seen the layout. It's around Camden Yards. Everyone I've talked to that's actually been there, some drivers and other people, think it's going to be fantastic.
Well, I think it will. I mean, just, you know, being from Detroit, but sort of getting to know Baltimore a little bit, the excitement that's in the city, the partnership that they have with the city, as well as the corporate communities coming out. You know, there's over 80 suites or hospitality units committed. Grandstands are fully sold almost. It's just bottom rows that are available at this point. So, you know, there's really been an extremely warm welcome and an enthusiastic welcome, certainly, for the idea of this type of event coming to, you know, the mid-Atlantic coast.
Well, when I took a look at the map, it kind of has a feel of a Long Beach because you're on the Inner Harbor on one end, and you got Camden Yard that's actually inside the racetrack down at the other end, and it's just a great area to have a race, really.
Oh, it really is. I mean, I'm going to sound like I'm with their tourism agency, but, you know, they use a slogan, "All you need in Baltimore is 2 feet," and it really is a very you know, user-friendly, easy-to-get-around city that we're now making a lot more complicated by building a racetrack in the middle of it. But there's just all these wonderful venues within walking distance of one another, and a good number of them are either within the race venue or within very close proximity.
Well, I looked at where I'm staying for the race weekend. My hotel's inside the racetrack. I don't think I've ever had that happen.
Where are you? The Hilton, the Sheraton, or the Hyatt?
The Sheraton Hotel. I know the Hyatt in Long Beach has always been inside. There's some other ones, but going to be staying inside, which is kind of a different experience with this racetrack. And he said Camden Yard there, the Inner Harbor. How are the fans? What's been the reaction? I know you've been working in Baltimore a little bit. What's kind of the vibe in the town right now?
Well, I think they're not quite sure to know what to expect, as you can appreciate, and certainly the people here in Detroit remember those days when we raced downtown, and right now it's all about street closure to build the venue, and everybody's a little nervous about that, but they're really, really excited. This is going to be the big event. You know, Colin Powell is the General Colin Powell, and we've got more military events. I mean, we're really drawing well, not just from the Baltimore area, but Washington, D.C. is engaged, and, you know, Virginia. I'm talking to volunteers that are coming from all along the East Coast. They're just so excited to, you know, to have this brand new event. And frankly, you know, you mentioned Long Beach. It's been a while. I know there have been some attempts at it. I've been involved with some of those races. It's been a while since there's really been a true downtown circuit that is launched and been successful. And I think this one has all the signs of being that.
Have they gotten any of the dignitaries, the politicians from Washington? Because it's just a drive down the expressway from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore. Are we going to see a lot of those kind of things, that celebrity feel, again, going back to Long Beach, that we will see next weekend in Baltimore?
I'm not sure about how many politicians are going to be there because, as you know, Labor Day weekend generally is the time when they go back to their constituents and do a lot of handshaking and politicking with an election year coming up. But all the branches of the military, an awful lot of generals. Friday is going to be military and first responders appreciation day. And, what we don't appreciate in the Midwest is just how many different organizations there are that support the military, that obviously look out for all of our welfare. And so we're trying to do something on Friday in Baltimore that gives back and honors all those different organizations. So while we may not have the politician type celebrities, we're going to have an awful lot of people that are important to our safety and are, important to all the different branches of the military.
Time with Rita Shanneman here on Pit Pass USA about the inaugural Baltimore Grand Prix coming up next weekend on the streets around Camden Yard in Inner Harbor. And Rita, you've always been involved with volunteers, and you kind of mentioned them momentarily. How many volunteers is it taking to put on this event in Baltimore? I think people might be surprised.
Well, it's less than what it takes at Belle Isle. We're looking at about 700 volunteers in Baltimore, and I didn't arrive until the 1st of August. And already, to give you a sign of the enthusiasm, we're already approaching 600. So to think that, that many people have responded in literally 3 weeks kind of gives you a gauge, because we're not just talking about, a couple of hours of commitment. They're committing 3 days of a holiday weekend to come and support the production of that event.
Yeah, and a lot of times they don't get to see the event. They're doing other things. They're not actually getting to watch the racing.
That's right. I mean, one of the things about the venue is Baltimore has a very extensive convention center right in the heart of the city, and that building is going to be a great resource for us. It's where the IndyCar and Indy Lights paddocks, as well as Star Mazda and USF 2000 are going to be housed. So there'll be a lot of activity indoors, and like you say, there'll be a lot of people stationed in there that may not even see the cars on track but for a few fleeting moments.
Rena, before you and I started this interview, we talked a little bit, and you mentioned going through the earthquake yesterday in Baltimore. What was that like? What did it feel like?
Well, it was my first experience with an earthquake, and they have a tunnel underneath. My offices are actually at Camden Way, which is right adjacent to the ballpark, and they were describing to me that there's a train tunnel, a commercial train tunnel, that runs underneath the building and has for 100 years. And so I at first thought it was just a really loud train, but then it came in two waves, and the floor really shook, knocked over some papers. But as you can appreciate, with the event just 10 days away, we're all so busy, and with the papers piled all over the place, I'm not sure that many of us noticed it until that it was dangerous in any way. Until the security came through and said we had to evacuate the building. And then once the evacuation took place and you saw all of the downtown buildings evacuated, it made me realize that this was something that was not ordinary, that it was quite significant.
Well, I went through a 6.4 earthquake on the 17th floor of a hotel in downtown Anchorage, Alaska, once. So I'm one up on you just a little bit when the building was swaying back and forth.
A little bit more, but as you can appreciate in that region, there's a lot of sensitivity with the upcoming anniversary of 9/11, and there was a little bit of nervousness about that. And so I think they tended to be overly cautious, even though it was less than a 6.0 earthquake.
Yeah, well, hopefully we've got the earthquake over with. Hopefully we'll get this hurricane. It'll go farther east and stay out in the Atlantic Ocean, and we'll just have a great weekend, Labor Day weekend, with sunshine and a great party atmosphere with great racing in Baltimore. I'm really looking forward to everybody I know in the American Le Mans series that I work with, and some of the IndyCar guys I talked to at Mid-Ohio a couple of weeks ago. They're all very excited about coming to Baltimore.
And as everybody should be, and we're going to do our best to put on a great show for all the visitors that are coming.
Well, Rena, I want to thank you for taking some time out of a very busy schedule, because I know you're off to the Motorsports Hall of Fame induction ceremony in downtown Detroit. You just flew in for that. Then you got to fly back to Baltimore. And so hopefully you'll get a chance to take a breath. Well, you probably won't race weekend, but I know we'll bump into each other.
Well, I'll look forward to that, Larry, and thanks for the opportunity.
That's Rena Shanneman. I've known and worked with Rena for a long, long time. She's great putting the volunteers together, and really looking forward to the Baltimore Grand Prix. It's a great venue. The drivers that have gone there, I know Scott Dixon was talking about it. The layout is just a driver's dream. Some long straightaways, a couple of hairpins, some fast corners. I think the race fans, those that show up for the weekend, are going to have a great, great time. We've got The IndyCars are running there, the America Le Mans Series presented by Tequila Patron, the Indy Light Series, let's see, the Star Mazda Series, and I believe F2000, so there's going to be a lot of racing Labor Day weekend. Well, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a lot of news notes. As long as we stay on, we're hearing thunder boomers moving in outside our window here in the Detroit area. When we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
Tired of the same mundane talk radio show, boring opinions, and people not knowing or telling the truth? Tune into The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. This show is brought to you by two men who know the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional sports. Josh and Otis's experience and careers in the NFL give them access to the inside information and a reason to have a candid opinion. Tune into the Voice America Sports Channel Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. It's more than sports talk. It's a way of life.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Lots of different news items from the world of racing. I don't know whether you saw it or not. It would have been a week ago this past Sunday up in New Hampshire when the IndyCar Series was up at New Hampshire Speedway, and they decided to try to start a race in the rain with five laps to go, and all sorts of mayhem broke out. Then the chief steward, who had started the race back up in a pouring rain with the driver screaming, "Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it," decided to revert back to the previous lap and called the field that way, where there were a couple of cars that had passed. One of those, Oriel Servia, who thought he had the win because the light was green and then went yellow. You can see it on replay. They did go green, but they said not. And then they went to a hearing, which they're allowed to do, the final protest. Well, the three-person panel hearing that protest today decided here was a shocker, since two were USAC officials, and in USAC, they always revert to the previous lap. Oh, and one of the members of the panel, he's from New Hampshire Speedway, the promoter. What? You can't do that. Anyway, it said, after hearing the excellent presentation by each blah, 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 protest panel unanimous decision that the IndyCar senior official Brian Barnhart had the authority under the governing IndyCar series rulebook to render the decision he made. So that was it. They've got two business days to appeal Newman Haas Racing and also Target Chip Ganassi Racing. I don't look for them to do that because they are going to get the same outcome. The race is over. That's the way it is, and they will move on. We had a kind of an interesting race in Texas this year for the IndyCar series. They ran the Texas Twins, the Twin 275s. The best part of this was they drew for position in the second race, and it did affect the points at the time, which really ticked off Dario Franchitti because he had to start at the back of the field while his main opponent, Will Power, got the start up front in the second race. Anyway, they're going to do it again next year. pair of 114-lap races at Texas Motor Speedway. I think it's the dumbest thing going because the big problem is they take a break in between. The race is long enough. People on TV go somewhere else. It's boring between. There's nothing going on. And they wonder why people aren't watching on TV. They just keep doing dumb, stupid things over and over and over and over again. Speaking of dumb things, how about Kyle Busch? It wasn't dumb that he won at Michigan International Speedway on Sunday, which was his fourth NASCAR Sprint Cup victory of 2011. No, the dumb thing was, well, that was racing on the highways and byways of North Carolina at 128 miles an hour. Which was back on May 24th when he was driving a 2012 Lexus, and he was doing 128 in a 45-mile-per-hour zone. He has lost his driver's license for 45 days. Now, he can drive on the racetrack and go 200 miles an hour, but he can't drive on the highway. So Kyle Busch gets that little penalty for him. Also, if you watch the Nationwide Series race on Saturday for Montreal, you got to see crew chief Jerry Baxter, who was working with Patrick Carpentier, reach into Stephen Wallace's car and try to rip his hair out. Well, they got a $5,000 fine from NASCAR. I'm sorry. I thought it was amusing, and I thought it was well-deserved. Stephen Wallace, if you're honest about it, has crashed a lot of his own cars on his own. He's crashed other people's cars with his car time and time again. So he gets a $5,000 fine, and, you know, things kind of move on. Now, kind of the interesting news note today concerned Danica Patrick. This was the day that she was going to make an announcement, at least it seemed, that she would be moving to NASCAR full-time in 2012. It has been postponed and rescheduled, they think, for tomorrow. Then we've got another update that says next week she'll formally announce her intent to move to NASCAR full-time. Contracts supposedly are still being finalized, and I'm sure that is what the big holdup is. But it is interesting it's being postponed. And now the Indy cars, of course, are off to Infineon Raceway this weekend, and they'll be in Baltimore next weekend. And is that going to detract from both of those races with this bigger-than-life cloud now hanging over everyone? And I still do not think that Danica Patrick is going to be the savior of NASCAR. I am so sick of these people watching on TV and Fox and Speed and ESPN and even writers. Oh, this is going to be great. Oh, she's going to bring all these fans. Oh, she's going to do this. Oh, she's going to do that. Let's see her race first, okay? I mean, she's won one race in her entire IndyCar career. She is non-competitive as heck this season. She does very poorly on road courses, which is what she cut her teeth on. Maybe she has desire. Maybe she'll do well. I don't know. We're going to see. Yes, she's run a couple of races very good, but you take a look at the car she's in. She ought to be somewhere in the front 15, 18 cars with the quality of car she's in if she keeps her nose clean. It's just pretty much that simple. Same thing at Indianapolis. When she led the first time, first female to lead the Indianapolis 500, she was driving for Bobby Rahal. It wasn't a piece of junk she was driving. Then she drove for Michael Andretti. That's not a piece of junk she's driving. Other people have had very bad cars that they have raced in, or cars that didn't have the kind of bucks that she had underneath her when she's been running in her IndyCar career. She has been in top-notch equipment from the start, and you expect better results than maybe one win and to be up in the points where she is not this year, and I guess it's a convenient time for her to move on. But it's kind of interesting that the entire announcement has been delayed. I'm just not a big Danica Patrick fan. A friend of mine actually worked PR with her, got along great with her. I just think she's doing a lot of this for money. I could be wrong. Maybe she is, you know, a big desire to win races. I mean, Tony Stewart's not a dummy, but then again, he's going to get a lot of sponsorship from Danica, and there's a lot of bucks going to be passing hands. But I just don't think if she goes out and flops and doesn't win, the fans are going to go, big deal, big deal. But, you know, and I feel sorry for all the women that have been involved in NASCAR that have been working hard to get sponsorship, to move up. Joanna Long's one of those that pops immediately into my mind. Works very hard to get funding to go racing. And, you know, here's Danica strolling in and the media. I remember at Daytona when she came there to make her ARCA debut and her Nationwide debut over a year ago. that on media day before the Daytona 500, they have a big tent and all the drivers come in. They have a morning and afternoon session, and they have little tables set up where the drivers come. The writers and photographers had staked out her table at least 30 minutes before she showed up. And I'm going, you know, this isn't the second coming of Richard Petty showing up to go race. But that's me. I know I'm biased. I am very biased in this area. But let's just wait and see, okay? And I don't think she's the savior. It's the same thing like with Dale Earnhardt Jr. Well, if Dale Earnhardt Jr. was winning, the fans would be coming out to the race. No, they will not. They will not. Wake up. Too many people are beginning to believe their own BS that they write and talk about, and sometimes I believe my own, too. I had mentioned earlier when I was talking to Rena Shanneman about tonight the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America, which is actually based here in Detroit. They used to be a Novi, but now they're at the Detroit Science Center with their display. They have car, all sorts of things at the display, and they only have all of them there. But every year they induct a new class of inductees. One time I was on the board of directors of the Motorsports Hall of Fame, and I will tell you that up front. And here were the inductees tonight. In fact, at this hour, it should be going on, at least getting to the presentations point. Donnie Allison going in for stock cars. Roger McCluskey, open wheel, one of the greats, Roger McCluskey. Ed McCulloch out of drag racing. Bruce Pennell, who else? Motorcycles, yeah. How about Augie Pabst from sports cars? Ed Winfield, just kind of an historic one. And guy I grew up listening to on the radio for the Indianapolis 500, Sid Collins. He's going in at large, and I believe Paul Page was actually doing the induction. Of course, Paul took over for Sid with Sid's untimely death. And, of course, Paul worked under Sid for many years at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, part of the radio network, and I was a part of it for 15 years and kind of trace our lineage back to Sid. But I can always remember growing up in southern Indiana and Memorial Day, which was the 31st, and sitting at the kitchen table, having the radio on, and listening to the Indianapolis 500. And Sid Collins, well-deserved going in to the Motorsports Hall of Fame. I'm not sure whether Barney Hall from NASCAR is in yet or not, but Barney should be. And they ought to do it while Barney's still alive. I mean, Barney is an icon, and hopefully if you listen to MRN, nicest guy in the world. I always love sitting down with Barney and have him just tell stories. I love stories in racing, and he is one of those. And he has seen it all for so many years through his storied career in NASCAR. And I don't think he's in the Motorsports Hall of Fame yet, but he should be. And that's one of those, and I believe in giving those awards out while a person is alive. Other than that, that's about most of the news that's gone on. But as I said, we're going to wait and see what happens with Danica Patrick, why that's been delayed. But GoDaddy is backing her, and they're going to spend buku amounts of money. JR Motorsports is going to get a ton of money from that. Tony Stewart, Stewart Haas Racing, looks like she's going to run some cup races there. That's going to be interesting, too, to see if they put her in a car that has to qualify on speed. Now, she won't have to, of course, in Nationwide because the seven cars up there in owner points. But if she runs over in cup, will Tony Stewart say, I'm going to step out of the 14 car and I'll qualify on speed and let you take the 14 car this weekend when you roll over? Run over here in the Sprint Cup side to make sure that she is in the race. And then Tony rolled the dice that he will get in on speed or a past champions provisional. I think that's something to keep your eyes open for in 2012. And also, I forgot to mention Michigan International Speedway, where I was last weekend. They're doing a repaving job of the racetrack. They're not taking the entire surface up. It began Monday morning. They had to take down all the safer barriers and stuff, but they're doing a complete repave. Got to get it done because here in Michigan we have snow. It's not like Daytona where they have nice temperatures all winter long. We have snow. We have temperatures that get down to zero and below in the wintertime. But they are doing that. So it's going to be a quicker track, I think. They're taking out some of the bumps, leveling it out, but it's still going to have the graduated banking that they found out that they had there. And it should be interesting to see the racing that comes about there next year. I've really talked about everything that I can think of in the world of racing. I'm sure there's a few things I have missed. Hopefully, as I always say, that you're taking in some local racing. We're getting towards the end of the season, at least here in the state of Michigan, because it's getting towards the fall and winter time. But I always say support your local track whenever and wherever you can. Remember, you can always check out our Facebook page, which is Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. Also, we've got some videos. We haven't put any new ones up for a while. Over on our YouTube channel, Pit Pass USA, you'll see some with Courtney Force, which we did back in February. But Courtney's going to be making her funny car debut probably in the next few weeks. It might just be at Las Vegas and Pomona at the very end of the year, but we're waiting to see about that for John Force Racing. You can always email me, too. It's Larry Henry at PitPassUSA.com, Larry Henry at PitPassUSA.com, and you can follow me on Twitter. It is PitPassUSA, and I am there a lot, way too often, but it's also a great place to follow race drivers in all their series and get the latest information. I want to thank you for being with us tonight. We will be back next Wednesday, and we hope to be talking next week to Marcos Ambrose and Ryan Hunter-Reay, among others, when we have Pit Pass USA next Wednesday night here on the Power Up Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Do it for this week. Time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.